What's up, Plum Creek? Welcome. Thank you for being here. Greetings to those of you as well that are worshiping with us online today. I felt like I needed to say something about that. The first thing I want to say is thank you to everyone that's part of joining us that way. It's amazing to have a chance to redeem technology. I'm also very, very grateful for our team here. There are so many people working behind the scenes to prep for the weekend, to shoot cameras on the weekend, to call shots on the weekend, to mix music on the week. Can we thank everybody that does that? It's just awesome. And what a blessing. For those of you that are worshiping online with us and you live in this area, if you've never been here, you need to come check it out in person sometime. I was just thinking about that while we were worshiping together in this room. There's just nothing like it. It's incredible. And so if you've never joined us in person, we'd sure love to meet you sometime. So please prayerfully consider coming to join us if you would. And if it's been a while, we'd invite you back. We'd love to see you too. What a great chance to worship together. Well, we've been in this series where we've been looking at scripture, learning about what it means to listen to the voice of God. It's been an important series, and I've appreciated the feedback that we've gotten as we've been walking through this for the last 6 weeks. So this is the seventh week we've been talking about this. And I love to hear how the weekends are impacting the lives of Plum Creekers. One of the things that I miss most about the early days of parenting when our kids were young is youth athletics. I love youth athletics. And we were very busy with four kids kind of all right in a row, running from sport to sport, from practice to practice, and game to game. But as a dad, one of the things that I loved the most was how tuned my children were to my voice. All the rest of the kids weren't listening to me, but my kids were listening to me. They knew my voice, and they typically responded when I would yell. Some sports are harder than others. Like if you're all the way down on a field with a helmet on, it's hard to hear Dad yelling from the stands, but every once in a while, I could get pretty loud. But if I said, butt down, head up, hands wide on defense on a basketball court, I promise you, you're gonna hear that. And the reason that I would yell at my kids is not because I'm mad at them, but because I want them to excel. I want them to do well. I want the team to win, and I like to win. And when we think about our lives that we're living now, see, we have a Heavenly Father that wants us to win. And He has a voice that He uses in our lives. And if we think about this series that we've been in and the importance of tuning our ears to the voice of our Heavenly Father, we need to pay close attention to Him, guys, because He loves you. He cares about you, and He knows what's best for you. And that's why He will communicate to you. This week, I was sharing some of these thoughts with my son-in-law, Brett, and we were talking about this message. And he said, hey, could you hear your dad yelling? And I was like, bro, like, here's the deal. My dad died like several years ago, but if we get quiet right now, I can still hear him. We need to learn to listen to our Heavenly Father. There's a reason that He speaks to us. And He can be trusted because He loves you. There's a lot of other voices that are gonna try and get your attention. There's no voice like His. There's no heart like His. Friends, we need to listen. And there are challenges all throughout scripture. My big brother Matt was here last week. Didn't he do a great job? Oh, it was awesome to have him here with us. In his message, he briefly quoted this verse that I want to spend some time looking at together in John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus was teaching, and you need to know that this is Jesus's words. And he said this, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So here's my main thought for this weekend. Jesus's sheep listen to his voice. Jesus's sheep listen to his voice. Now, I would like to be called something much tougher than a sheep. But when I read John 10, which I would encourage you to go back and read this week, it's not really about me. It's about him. And you can learn a lot about Jesus when you read this passage in John chapter 10. You see, a gospel-centered Christ follower understands and believes what Jesus is saying here, and that's this. Never forget it. God still speaks. God still speaks. And we work to listen. We prioritize our relationship with him, and we cultivate living a life of discipline with some habits that will facilitate hearing his voice. And I'm going to tell you something today. Everybody, please look here. If you're online, stop drinking your coffee and eating your cinnamon roll. This is the primary way that God speaks to you. And if you're not spending time in this word, you're missing what the Heavenly Father wants to communicate to you. You need to prioritize this word. Any other prompting you might get, any other voice you might hear that contradicts with this is not the voice you need to be listening to. When you're seeking direction in your life, when you're trying to make sense of life, when you're trying to understand purpose of life, when you're trying to understand what to do with your relationships and how to be a boss or how to lead or how to be an employee or what to do with your finances, start here, guys. God's voice is speaking through his words. And that's why we need to know what he says. His voice will never contradict with his word. This is the reason we need to memorize scripture. Now, we're going to talk to others. And of course, there's various experts that are out there in the world. But ultimately, listen to me, it starts as Christ followers. It starts here. And if someone is giving you advice that's contrary to this, it's not truth. This is where we build our lives. Because learning to hear God's voice is like developing your buys and your tries. For those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, you need to go to the gym. Those are biceps and triceps, and they don't develop overnight, do they? It takes hard work, it takes intentionality. You gotta learn to work those. It just takes time. Just like my kids didn't know my voice right away, it took time for them to hear my voice because they've heard it a lot. Just last week, we were walking down the street. We'd take my brother out for dinner after church at the last service, and I saw a guy walking down the street. I didn't know he was a Plum Creeker at first, but he had the sweetest kicks on. And I had a hat on, it was kind of cold, and we kind of walked past. I said, "Hey, sweet kicks, bro." And he's like, "Thanks." And then he stopped and he was like, "Pastor Doug?" And I was like, "Hey, buddy, how are you?" He recognized my voice. Why? Because he's heard it a bunch. We need to hear the voice of God a lot. We develop this ear to hear. Now, my mom was the greatest example of this of all time. Man, she had an intimate relationship with Jesus. She died in May of 2020, and I miss my mom. I miss my mom a lot. But she prioritized the Word of God, and she read the Word of God all. God spoke to her. God spoke to my mom a lot. She spent time in the Word of God, and she learned to hear his voice, and she talked to him all day long like he was a dear friend. And I can remember one time when I was a kid, I had lost something, maybe a toy or something, and I was frustrated about it. And you just have to know the way my mom would work. I went to mom, I said, "Mom, man, I can't find whatever. I don't even remember what it was." And she said, "Oh, Dougie," she said, "Jesus knows where that toy is." I was like, "Okay." She said, "Let's pray. The Lord will help you find that." She said that to us over and over and over again. A few years before my mom passed away, she made me this apron, and I love it. Special to me. It's one of those things that, you know, you grab if the house catches on fire. Because mom made it, she made it. So when I grill, I wear this apron. And a few months ago, I lost my apron. And it really bothered me, and I got barbecue on shirts that I didn't want to get dirty. And I looked high and low for that thing. And now this is what happens to me. I don't know if this happens to you. I lose something, I'm sure someone else took it. Do you guys do that? Does your dad do that? Because I do that. I'm like, which one of my kids took my apron, right? So it went on for weeks. And there was one morning where I was just really frustrated that I missed the apron. Because my mom made it. It's important to me. And I'm telling you, just as I was scurrying about the house trying to think about getting ready for dinner or whatever it was, I remember what mom said. Mom was right. You know, she said, "Oh, Dougie, God knows where that apron is. Have you asked him?" I was like, "All right, we're going to put this to the test." I was like, "Lord, mom said you know where the apron is. And I'm going to trust mom on this one. and I need some help because I want my apron back. Will you please help me find my apron? And I promise you, as sure as Doug is standing in front of you today, I would not make this up the first time. Now, you gotta know, in our kitchen, we have an island, and there's one cabinet, one out of all the cabinets, one that's mine, one. And there's a drawer on the top of it, and then you open it, and there's two slide outs, one on the top and one on the bottom. And that's where I put all my grilling stuff. And as soon as I said amen, I had this thought. Look behind the bottom slide out. That's where the apron is. I would not think that, Norm. When's the last time you looked behind the bottom slide out of your drawer? Couldn't see. Reached my hand back there. Clearly, I found my apron because that's where it was. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Come on, Doug. That's just good luck, right? That's just good luck. You just happen to look in the right spot at the right time. I'm gonna tell you something, you're wrong. I believe that God told me where my apron was. You might wanna give it a try. We were talking about this week, and my daughter, Megan, she said, "Dad, it didn't work when I lost my keys." And there were a lot of things I wanted to say, but here's the reality of it. I don't necessarily know how that works all the time. But it ain't gonna hurt to ask, is it? And it might just help us learn to listen to his voice. He still speaks. And Jesus told us that that's true. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You see, this word picture is kind of lost on us today because we don't see a lot of sheep herds wandering around Castle Rock. But the people that Jesus were speaking to were very familiar with sheep because they saw them all the time. They saw sheep and they saw shepherds. They likely knew shepherds. Historians have told us that Middle Eastern shepherding is well known because the shepherds would have intimate knowledge of their flock. They were led by the shepherds. The shepherds would lead by playing a flute or singing a song or having a certain way that they would call to their sheep. A good shepherd always led their sheep, never drove the sheep. You see, they learned to trust the shepherd and they recognized his voice. And because they trusted his leadership, they instinctively followed the shepherd. Now, a little background in John chapter 10, which I encourage you to go back and read this week. We learn later in this chapter in verse 22 that these words of Jesus in John chapter 10 were made during a winter celebration, one of the feasts of the Jewish tradition called Hanukkah. Have you heard of that before? Of course you have. Do you know what it celebrates? Because you probably should. It's also known as the Celebration of Lights. 200 years before Jesus was born, you see, Greek soldiers captured and pillaged the temple in Jerusalem, and they stole all of the artifacts and the treasures there, and they ransacked the temple so that it could no longer be used for worship. Fast forward, however, to the winter of 165 BC, a Jewish army led by Judas Maccabees reclaimed the temple and reestablished it as a place of worship, and that's what this celebration commemorates, that rededication. And so in this passage in John chapter 10, Jesus is part of what's happening in this culture as they're celebrating the beauty of that event, and he's talking about the difference between the religious leaders of the day and his heart as the good shepherd. He's contrasting their leadership, the heart, the passion to lead the people, and he calls himself the good shepherd. Now, in addition to all of this, you also have to know that the people that Jesus was speaking to would be very, they would also be very well versed in the scriptures from the Old Testament, where there was language like this that was used very regularly, like Psalm 100 verse 3, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Or in Psalm 95, 7, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. It's almost like the psalmist knew we were gonna need that verse today and that you and I were gonna need to read that and be reminded. You see, this common theme throughout scripture, Old and New Testament, is this idea of God being the good shepherd. And then Jesus comes to us and he says, my sheep, listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. This is a beautiful promise to us. It's a passage that needs to be unpacked. And so in this story, Jesus was approached by the people and they're trying to know who he is. They're trying to know if he's the real Messiah. And so Jesus' words highlighting here in this verse, the key for you and I today to know how to hear his voice. Do you want to know how to hear his voice? I'm going to do my best to share that with you today. The first thing is this. The first phrase, two words, my sheep. Say my. That's a possessive word, isn't it? This means this. If you're trying to hear God's voice, the first thing you need to do, take a step across the line of faith. If you're lost in life and trying to figure things out, if you've got relationship issues that you're struggling through and you're trying to understand how to move forward, if you're lost and you need hope, listen, the first place you need to start, if you want to hear God's voice, is knowing I've got to step across the line of faith. I got to declare him as Lord of my life. That's how it starts. My sheep, he says. It's possessive. Jesus is describing a real relationship, those that have this ongoing, conversational, experiential companionship with God. He's the Lord of your life. The next thing that he says, and this is the challenge, because I'm a sheep. I've said yes to Jesus, but this next part's the hard part. What does he say his sheep do? Listen to my voice. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? This is a noisy world you and I live in. Would you agree with me? Sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God. I got to show you a video. This is awesome. Some young adults got connected with a shepherd, and they were talking to him about this. And so he shared with them the way that he would call to his flock of sheep. And he had each of these young adults go ahead and give it a shot to see if they could even get his herd to respond in any way. Watch this video.
One more time. Look at them, look at them.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
They are coming. Oh my God.
Listen, there's all kind of voices trying to call your way. And the problem is we've tuned our ears to the wrong voices. The one that loves you, cares about you, loves you so much that he would come and die for you, you better be listening to his voice. And this is the key to understanding how this works. It's relational. When you know he loves you, when you know that he really cares about you, that he wants to help you, that he is trustworthy, that he cares enough that he wants to help guide and steer and help avoid pain and issues and challenges, to do life right, to understand who we are underneath his authority in our life. When you know all of these things are truth that you can build your life on, listen, why wouldn't you listen to him? We need to prioritize this. Jesus' sheep listen to his voice. So can I ask you, are you his? Have you made that decision to allow him to be the Lord of your life? Because if you haven't, I'm going to give you a chance to today. If you need hope, if you're lost, you want to understand true love, you want to understand who you are in Christ, you want to understand the purpose of life, this is where it begins. But then you need to prioritize, as I said earlier, being in the Word of God. You need to know what he says so that you can understand and know his truth. And when we work to develop this relationship, we learn to hear and respond to his voice. One commentator put it this way: this is the lifestyle of a disciple of Jesus. They listen. They get to know him, truly experience him, so you can know that he can be trusted. And then you choose to follow his lead. You walk with him. It's all about a true relationship, isn't it? Jesus' sheep listen to his voice. Earlier in this passage, Jesus describes the depth of this relationship in a very interesting and very powerful way in verse 3. So he's talking about the shepherd, who is also known as the gatekeeper, where they would keep the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, look at this, recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by what? Name. And he leads them out. It's pretty personal, isn't it? I see a progression here that starts with this relationship with the Lord, your decision to say yes to him, not just saying yes, but prioritizing getting to know him. You see, he knows your name and you need to know him. You need to know his nature, his heart, his love, his trustworthiness, his word, his care, his plan, his promises, and his promptings. And when you know him that way, see, then that leads to a recognition of his voice, because you can discern his voice from all the other voices that are part of this world. And then here's what happens. It almost gets intoxicating because you want to just be close. And that's a proximity issue. And that is an issue of the heart, not a place of being somewhere. It's an issue of the heart. I want to be close to Jesus so that I can hear his voice. So I prioritize my time with him. I prioritize staying near. Dallas Willard put it this way: learning this practice of listening to Jesus takes experience. Experience is not something learned in a day, but rather in the day in and day out routines of life. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus describes this in a very powerful way. We need to see this because it's easy to get lost in this world, isn't it? It's easy for all of the conflicting voices to somehow be prioritized, and all of a sudden we're chasing after the wrong stuff, doing the wrong things, and wondering why we're so lost. How did I get here? Listen to what he says in verse 4. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. Look at verse 5. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Plum Creek, we need to be careful. We need to be mindful of the other voices that we are listening to. Sometimes we get helpful advice from people, and I guarantee you, if you're like me, you've gotten some bad advice from people too. And that's why, you see, we know who not to listen to because we know who to listen to. As I said before, if it's not based on this, be careful. Be careful. If it's contradictory to this book, don't listen to what's being said. Build your life on this. Your Heavenly Father loves you. Your shepherd loves you. In this culture we live in, there are so many voices that come screaming our way with all... Isn't everybody's a pro now? And everybody has a platform, and everybody seems to be talking loud about what they think and their opinions on how you and I should live our life. Remember what Jesus said in verse 5, his sheep won't follow a stranger, rather will run from them. That's a challenge. It's easy to allow these voices to play out loud and large in our lives without realizing the impact that they have on our thoughts and our minds and our hearts. So we need to be mindful and careful about the other voices in our lives. I love the way the proverb writer put it. We talk about knowing the word of God. This would be a good one to memorize. Ready? Proverbs 3:6. It's almost as though they wrote it for us today. So good. You need to memorize this in the Message Paraphrase Bible. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Say everything. And then he continues, everywhere you go. Say everywhere. Everywhere. That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? Then look what happens. He is the one who will keep you on track. Amen. Let's just do that. Memorize that verse. Put it on the mirror. When you're getting ready in the morning, be reminded of it. Put it on your rearview mirror so you see it while you're driving, and that's the everywhere part. And keep praying this so that we can be reminded, Lord, I want to listen to your voice in everything that I do in life and everywhere I go in life, and Father, help me to stay on track. And we've been talking about verse 27, but Jesus continues. He says in 27, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then in verse 28, he says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. What a beautiful promise that we have here. A promise of eternity and a promise of protection. Sounds like somebody I want to listen to. Our relationship with Jesus, our connection with him, is so vitally important. And the purpose of this whole series over the last 7 weeks that we've been together is to be reminded that God still speaks today. And we need to prioritize properly. We need to walk in this development of sensitivity in our ears to hear his voice. We need to regularly be asking for his help. That's why we put that reminder on the screens of our phones and our iPads and our computers. Father, speak to us. And then we need to block out the noises and the voices around, because it's a loud world we live in, isn't it? So asking him to speak, getting quiet, being with him, and listening. And I've told you before, listen, there's someone here today that's struggling to find direction, to understand the voice of God. And I've told you this before, but one of the things, one of the habits, I've learned this just because of practice and in my own personal experience. When before you go to bed, my wife Beth, she's right here, she will tell you this is true. We will pray many times before we go to bed, Lord, speak to us while we're sleeping. It's true, babe? And then I'll ask the Lord, just speak to me. When I wake up in the morning, let my thought be your thought. And I pay so close attention to that first thought in the morning. When we're trying to sort something out as a couple or as a family or trying to help somebody or issues here at church or whatever it is. Lord, I need your help. Speak to me. I need to hear his voice just like you need to hear his voice. He will speak and we will hear. And it comes in all kinds of different ways. Now, many of you know our story. About 4 years ago, our oldest son got super sick. Sinus infection went into his brain, and it caused a couple strokes, took out the right side of his body, and he couldn't speak. So he had aphasia, is what the doctors told us, which means this. You can formulate words in your mind, but you can't get them to your mouth. And after Josh had a couple of major surgeries, there were a lot of friends and family. Some of you were here at the waiting room just supporting our family while we were going through this. And I had left Josh's intensive care room, number 23, over there at ICU and at Sky Ridge, to go to the waiting room to give an update on how things were going after one of his surgeries. And my daughter, Megan, came running to the waiting room. She's like, Daddy, we need you back there. Josh is freaking out. I was like, he's in no condition to freak out. This is not good. Some of you know when you had young children and they would be disturbed and you just have no idea what the problem is. Have you ever been there? And you're like, I just need to know what's wrong. Then I could help you if I knew what was wrong. Again, Josh had aphasia, so he was worked up about something, but he couldn't get his thoughts into words that made sense to any of us. And he was yelling at the top of his lungs. Not good when you have half your skull off. And I opened the door to ICU, and Josh was yelling at the top of his lungs, I just want a nap. Okay. Like, seems simple, right? Over and over and over, he was yelling. Everybody's blood pressure, including all the other patients, through the roof. And I got into his room and I tried all the things Coach Dad Dougie would do to try and calm him down, and nothing worked. Over and over and over, he just kept screaming, I just want a nap. It's gonna be the title to my book someday. And after I got to the point where I just had nothing left and I was so frustrated and everybody, Josh was not in a good, his blood pressure was going crazy, I did what only I knew to do. And I grabbed his hand and I prayed, Lord, I'm so frustrated. This is not just my kid, this is your kid too. I don't know what he wants. I can't help him if I don't know what he wants. But you do. Would you please help me? And the second I said amen, this was a thought that went through my mind. If I want a nap, I'm gonna turn the light off. That's the first thing that went through my mind. So one of his friends was standing by the light switch, and I was like, hey, can you turn the lights off? Josh yelled, that is literally all I wanted. Because there was a light shining right in his eyes. And again, listen, I know some skeptics in here today. There's some skeptics listening and watching and worshiping with us online. And you're like, yeah, good call, Miller. Listen, I'm telling you, I was at wit's end. I had nowhere to go. I didn't know what to do. And he wasn't in a good place. And I'm going to tell you, God spoke to me. And he wants to speak to you too. We have to ask him. You need to be his. My sheep, he said. And then we need to prioritize listening to him. Oh, because friends, he loves you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. And he wants you to follow him. Will you bow your heads with me for just a second? Sometimes it's going to be a still small voice. Sometimes it's going to be a prompting from the Holy Spirit, just this deep sense of him directing you. It could be a dream, a passage of scripture. Some of you are thinking, Doug, that book is so big. Where do I start? Start in the book of John. Start in the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters in Proverbs. How many days in a month? Just works out, doesn't it? Could be through a song, which I'm praying will happen this morning now, a sermon, through a friend, a time of quiet, reflective prayer. What he says will never contradict his word. The scriptures are true. Perhaps there's someone here today that hasn't made that decision to step across the line of faith. Let's go back to where it begins. You need to say yes to him. You need to ask him to be the Lord of your life. I told you I'd give you a chance to do that, and now is your moment. You have the opportunity to do that right now. And if that's you and you felt lost in life and you need hope and you've been trying to figure out who you are and what your purpose in life is and you feel lost and concerned and overwhelmed and tired and weary, you've been trying to do this on your own, listen in this moment, take a deep breath. And in your own words, say, Lord, I need you in my life. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you want to be my good shepherd because I need help. I ask you to forgive me. I thank you that you went to the cross for me. I thank you that you're a God that loves me so much that you would still speak today. Will you help me to learn to listen to your voice? We started this series with a song. The words are powerful that Colette sang. And we're going to finish with that same song this morning. Would you just simply pray this prayer with me? Lord, speak to me. Will you just say it? Let's say it out loud. Lord, speak to me. Oh, now listen, because he loves you, and he'll speak if you give him a chance.